Well, well, well. Welcome to the sound of the start of your weekend. It's the Not the Top 20 podcast betting show sponsored by Betfair. Me, Ali Maxwell, him, George Ellick, making betting picks ahead of one of the last full slate EFL weekends of the season. This is about betting, which comes with significant risks. Therefore, the show is for over 18s only, very strictly. And we ask that anyone listening that's thinking of placing a bet this weekend or any time to be gamble aware, understand the risks that come with gambling. Head to begambleaware.org if you don't feel that you do. Last week, George's Nap was a winner. Wrexham to beat Forest Green Rovers to nil at 7-5. But Leeds didn't do the same against Blackburn. Charlie Kelman didn't score for Orient, and Cardiff didn't beat Millwall to nil. For me, Preston did not beat Norwich, but Tranmere did beat Newport, my next best, and Wilfred and Didi didn't score. Reading and BTTS up at Barnsley, they were 2-1 up until they weren't. Barnsley equalising within about a minute, so I had 1 minute of excitement, which, you know what? I'll take. It's been a tough few months on the show for me. George, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I'm well. I'm excited, but also a little bit intimidated by what we've both agreed is quite a tricky slate this weekend.
It is tricky. I think we're, you know, at this stage, everything is known about basically every team. So therefore, more than any other time, I kind of look through it in the games that matter. And you see, it kind of equates to what you think it's going to be. And then also, we now have the dead rubber angles as well. I don't know. I used to be a big fan of it, and I used to think there were a lot of... I think there's one team in particular this weekend that I'll come on to my long shot who I think probably are overpriced given the kind of state of play. But quite often when there's a massive move towards the team who have something to play for and it looks too short, I think these people who are moving the, you know, putting enough on to move the price probably know what they're doing.
Dead rubber angles was a phrase you used there, which I thought sounded like it could be a good sort of indie band name from 2003-2008 era, peak era. What is your best bet this weekend? What's your nap?
So my best bet, having spoken about dead rubbers, my best bet of the weekend is Fleetwood to beat Leyton Orient away from home at 12-5.
Spicy.
Yeah, this is... kind of on the face of it, I think you could probably be forgiven for thinking this is a bit of a dead rubber. Leyton Orient certainly have nothing to play for, and Fleetwood are 1-100 to get relegated at this stage. So it looks like Fleetwood are going down, Leyton Orient are going to finish mid-table, and that's that. But I think Fleetwood staying up, it's unlikely, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility. And I can... absolutely sure going into this game that there's no way Charlie Adam and his players believe they are relegated already, because, and apologies to Monday pod listeners because I know I did this a lot on Monday, but let's just look at the league table and the fixtures that these teams have ahead of them. They've both got two games to play. Well, Fleetwood have two games to play. One of them is this game away at Orient, and then on final day they play Burton. They are currently 6 points behind Burton. Burton sit in 20th in the last safe spot. And their goal difference is Fleetwood's is one worse than Burton. So Fleetwood basically go into this game knowing that if they win and if Burton lose at home to Reading 11-8 favourites to win that game, then they will have an opportunity on final day at home against Burton. If they beat them, they will overtake Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. Right? Yeah. I've worked it out. That's an 18-1 shot for those three results to happen. So okay, that the acca of Fleetwood to win, Fleetwood to beat Burton and Burton to lose to Reading is about 18-1. So unlikely maybe, but not beyond the realms. And certainly Fleetwood going into this will know that if they win and Burton lose, then they have a massive opportunity. So I definitely don't think this is a dead rubber in the eyes of Fleetwood fans and players. Although there is the caveat that Port Vale and Cheltenham have a massive role to play in this, where obviously they currently sit above Fleetwood. And if they better Fleetwood's results, or if they match Fleetwood in winning two games in a row, then they will, of course, still finish above them, and Burton and Fleetwood will go down. But my point still remains here that I don't think we can expect Fleetwood to give up here. Quite the opposite. I think Fleetwood will go into this game seeing it is a massive game, a must-win game, and a huge opportunity to do so. And they're up against an Orient side where that just isn't the case. Like, Orient season is done. You know, they're currently 10th. They're 3 points clear of Northampton and 11th. They're 5 points behind Stevenage and 9th. The overwhelming likelihood is they're going to finish 10th where they are now, and they've got two games to go. We saw at the back end of last season, once Orient had already won promotion and had won the league in League Two, that results and performances dipped a little bit. They had that 3-0 defeat against Stockport on penultimate day. And already since they you know, since they lost the opportunity to kind of fight their way into the playoff battle, we've already seen results tail off a little bit. You know, they've won one of their last five games. They were beaten 3-0 by Derby last time out in a very beachy performance where they didn't really land a glove on Derby the whole time. They then squandered a 2-0 lead at home to Exeter in a game where they were down to 10 men, not because they had a man sent off, but because they made all their subs and had a man injured with 25 minutes to go again.
That feels very end of season.
Like, not
fair.
Really the behaviour of a team. And also, Richie Wellens is someone where he's obviously a proper competitor, but he doesn't really strike me as someone who rides out to the finish, as we saw last year. I think, like, this is done now. I don't think the impetus is really there for Leyton Orient to put too much into this. So I think this is a game between two sides where one has huge... They will perceive it as being their biggest game of the season. The other one, their least important. And then you factor in Fleetwood's recent performances that I think are generally pretty good. Like, even in the 4-1 defeat against Posh in midweek, they went 1-0 up in that game. They had loads of opportunities at 1-1 to take the lead. And yeah, they conceded twice in the 95th and 96th minute, which gives it a nice sheen for Posh. But like, they played okay in that game, and that came off the back of a 2-0 win over Northampton. Like, I still think they are, under Charlie Adam, playing pretty well, and probably well enough to to get these two wins back to back feasibly. So yeah, at 12-5, a team who I think are playing better than their results, who have a lot to play for in my mind. Even if, say, you know, if Burton do pick up a win or whatever, they might get relegated. Well, there's a fair chance they could win on Saturday and still get relegated. Mm. But they won't think going into this. They know that they have to win. They have to win in order to give themselves a chance of not being relegated.
Nicely done. Moving up the League One table to the playoff picture, my nap is Blackpool to beat Barnsley on Saturday at 21-20 with the Betfair Sportsbook. This is interesting. So on Tuesday night, you and I went and watched Oxford 0, Lincoln 1. And that meant that Oxford, who have sixth spot, now only have a 2-point gap over Lincoln, who are in seventh. 1 point behind Lincoln are Blackpool on 70. And then there's Barnsley in fifth, who, clinging on, makes it sound a tiny bit too dramatic. But their playoff spot is not secure, particularly given that they were a horse. They're basically moving backwards at this point. Well, that's how it feels like. Whereas I think Blackpool have the bit between their teeth. So Blackpool's games are incredibly boring. I would not want to watch any of them as a neutral. Their last results read 1-0 win, 1-0 win, 1-0 win, 0-0 draw, 1-0 defeat, 1-0 defeat, 1-0 win, 0-0 draw. I mean, that is unbelievably boring, but it speaks to defensive consistency. And that's what we've been expecting to see from Critchley's Blackpool team, because that's what we saw from Critchley's last Blackpool team. They have achieved it. They have only conceded 3 goals in their last 10 league games. They've kept 4 clean sheets in a row, 4 clean sheets in a row at home as well. This is what they do now. Now, they haven't got the attacking threat that they had a couple of years ago when they had Ellis Sims and Jerry Yates up front. They do have Karamoko Dembele, who's a very, very, very good attacking player. Their strikers have been a little bit hit and miss, and clearly they are not, you know, they're not peppering the goal from all angles and scoring a ton of goals, but they are a serious team right now in very good form, and they could still make the playoffs. They could catch Oxford, sure, but they could catch Barnsley if they win this game and then follow it up with a win on final day. Any dropped points for Barnsley there would see Blackpool finish above them. So, all to play for. Barnsley, going backwards, I said. Well, they played Tuesday night in Portsmouth and they almost beat the champions. 2-1 up they were with not long to go, lost 3-2. They played last midweek as well, lost. They're on the road again here. This is their fifth away game in April already. And there's a really bad vibe around the place. We alluded to it on the last few pods with fans, basically a lot of them deciding that Neil Collins is a bad manager. He's not the right manager for them. And that's not ideal in terms of sort of building team spirit and maintaining a good connection between a team and its fan base heading into the playoffs, where you really need all of that. In their last 10 in the league, they've lost 5. They've drawn 3. They've won only 2. Weirdly, I don't think they are playing horrendously overall, and they maintain a great goal threat because they are a very good attacking team. But I do think there's this like flimsiness about them, and that manifests itself in the concession of a lot of goals, but also the throwing away of leads. They've only kept 2 clean sheets in their last 26 games, Barnsley, which is a horrendous record for a top six team. They've completely lost this superpower that they had away from home, where they only lost 1 away game all season until the weekend before last. They lost to Charlton. Since then, they've lost to Stevenage and Portsmouth in those away games as well. So from one away defeat to four in the space of a couple of weeks. All season, they've been running pretty hot. We've referenced it quite a lot on the Monday pod, got a fair amount of stick when they were winning every single week. But they couldn't run forever. They couldn't sustain it forever. And I think Blackpool are the more serious team right now. And I think Blackpool will get it done at home against Barnsley and win at 21-20.
Yeah, same price, 21-20, Salford to beat Newport County. You did a big bit last week on Newport's current underlying numbers. I'm not going to kind of go back over old ground, but like they are
bad.
They're really bad. Although you got the winner last week with Tranmere beating Newport, but actually,
great pick.
That was, in terms of pure numbers, Newport's best performance in a while. Where,
saying it was a lucky winner?
No, because a lot of it was kind of game set related. Once they were 2-1 down, they kind of came back into the game a little bit. But I think this is mainly, I think most good, like really good League Two sides would probably be odds on away at Newport. Yeah. And I still think that Salford right now are one of those, even though they've lost their last four consecutive games. If you take out the Bradford defeat last time out, where Salford were very poor, they won the XG battle in the previous three. So the away game at AFC Wimbledon, the away game at Walsall, and the home game against Sutton.
And I think Bradford might be quite good. Yeah. More on that later.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that at all. I'm not convinced that there's been a big drop off in Salford's performance levels. I just think they're being fairly wasteful in front of goal right now. And I think this is the kind of game where for Carl Robinson to come up against just a pretty atrocious defensive side in Newport, who haven't had much to play for a while now, and whose performances have dipped, I expect them to kind of make them pay. I think Salford have clearly been a much better side since Robinson came in, even though there's been a turnaround in results now. Two teams with nothing discernible to play for, but it still feels to me that one is still up for the fight whilst the other one isn't. So, yeah, I think kind of aligning with what you said last week about getting against Newport, I think there's it's a matter of time. I mean, they've only got two games to do it, but it won't be long until Salford, I think, things click for them once again.
Yeah, I'll be coming back to that one later. Team that's lost four in a row against a team that's lost six in a row. Newport and Salford, George's next best. Mine is Southampton to cover the -1 handicap and beat Cardiff. That's at 11-10 with the Betfair Sportsbook, 2.1 the decimal. The situation is as such. Between Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds, there's only one win in the last three rounds of fixtures, and that was Leicester three games ago. They are stuttering. They are stumbling. And there's Southampton coming along very, very, very quickly with three wins in a row. They are 3 points behind Leeds, 4 points behind Leicester, and 5 points behind Ipswich. They have a game in hand over Leeds and Ipswich, and it's against Leicester. So it is still on for Southampton if they can win out from here. And they're in great form. They beat Preston on Tuesday night. It was routine, as you like. 23 shots to one. 3-0 up in the first half. Job done. They go to Cardiff this weekend. They then play Leicester on Tuesday night. Massive game, and they could do themselves a world of good by heading into it with some further momentum. I was quite tempted by a George Ellick special win to nil here, because I don't think Cardiff are great shakes. But looking at the recent results and wins, Saints, not a massive win to nil team, to be honest. Right now, I think it's more about how good they are going forward and their amazing attacking numbers than shutting down the game completely defensively. They have scored two or more in six of their last eight. That pushed me towards a handicap bet rather than a win to nil bet. I don't think much of this Cardiff side. They are incredible at set pieces. They are the best team in the league at set pieces, and all power to them, all credit to them. For a team to be in the top half of the table, despite having the third worst open play XG and the fourth worst open play XG against, is remarkable, very unusual, and it's down to that set piece magic. They've scored 20 set piece goals, of which 17 have come from corners. They've scored from 9% of their corners, which is a ridiculous return. Norwich, next best, scoring with 5% of their corners. The problem for Cardiff is Saints don't really give up corners because they generally have the ball well away from their own goal. There are 22 of 43 games where they've faced three corners or fewer. Cardiff's recent performances have been poor. And I think Southampton are just playing so brilliantly with such a clear target to aim for compared to Cardiff, who are kind of drifting in mid-table to finish the season. Saints showing a lot of confidence in front of goal, which their title or promotion rivals are not. So it's a minus one handicap bet for me. Southampton to do too much for Cardiff. Minus one, 11 to 10. There's a completely free Acca or Bet Builder on football this weekend with the Betfair Sportsbook. Opt-in is required. Head to the promotions page to opt-in. Then you'll get a free bet varying from between £1 and £10 per customer. Minimum odds 1.5 on minimum one leg. Eligibility criteria and T's and C's do apply, but it's another completely free Acca or Bet Builder on football this weekend from Betfair. Who's your goal scorer?
My goal scorer is in a game you've already covered off.
Ooh.
We nearly went head-to-head again because I fancy Barnsley against Blackpool.
Yeah, that does add a nice bit of spice to that one.
I thought Barnsley were good against Pompey in midweek. They were 1-0 up. They were 2-1 up in that game. They created more chance against Pompey than most teams do at Fratton Park. I know that obviously results aren't very good, but as we often say with Barnsley, I think you know what you're going to get in every game. Like, they are a relentless attacking team. They're a side who... you know, even now during a more disappointing spell, they are still have some attacking output despite plenty of their fans seemingly not being overly keen on them. And this is a huge game for the reasons you mentioned as well, with Barnsley really in danger of dropping out of the top six altogether and Blackpool having a real opportunity to insert themselves within it. But John McAtee is someone who looks to me to quite clearly be Barnsley's main goal threat at the moment. He scored 5 league goals since the beginning of March. He has had 10 shots in their last 2 games. He's consistently getting opportunities, getting in positions to score. We've seen at Grimsby that he's very, very capable of scoring a whole range of goals, whether it's kind of striker's finishes or shots from range. And we've also seen that in his time at Barnsley as well. He's kind of the main man for them right now, and a rare shining light in what is a difficult spell for them. We know that Barnsley games are end-to-end. I always like backing a goal scorer in for a team who are relentlessly attacking but are quite a big price to win a game, which is exactly what Barnsley are. So yeah, at 4-1, I think it's a huge price for a guy who is, to my mind, possibly the most likely goal scorer on the pitch, or certainly up there.
Yeah, Callum Kavanagh is mine. Callum Kavanagh, son of Graham Kavanagh, but a much better goal scorer than his old man. He is Bradford striker, and he's 3-1 to score for Bradford against Walsall with the Betfair Sportsbook. He's playing up front alongside Andy Cook, who is the focal point. Kavanagh with a really sort of mobile striker role, running in behind a lot, getting on the end of things. He has started 8 games since joining on deadline day, and he has scored in 4 of those starts. Very lively last time out against Salford. Scored, but also hit the post, also had one off the line, also drew a great save out of the keeper. Looks super, super sharp. It's 0.48 XG per 90 since joining on deadline day. That is a good return so far. And Walsall, the home side, haven't kept a clean sheet in 11. So I like 3-1. And it's going to lead me straight into my long shot, if you don't mind. It's Bradford to win and both teams to score in Bradford against Walsall at 9-2, doubled up with Salford to win and both teams to score against Newport County.
Thank you so much.
Which is your next best, wasn't it?
Thank you.
The double is 20.63, so just shy of 20-1 with the Betfair Sportsbook. I like this Bradford-Walsall game. I find it really interesting because you can make a case for Bradford making the playoffs, even though they're 13th and 6 points off the playoffs. You can make a case for them to make it. It's a massive Rudyard Kipling, though, because it's if they win this, if they then beat Barrow, their game in hand, if they then beat Newport on final day, if Doncaster stop winning every game, if Crawley fail to win either of their last 2 games, if Walsall, who they play here, fail to win either of their last 2 games, Bradford can still make the playoffs. But it's a massive long shot. But they're playing really well, as mentioned. And there's been a few little bursts this season where, particularly for the underlying number studiers, Bradford keep standing out as just having these chunks of the season, 4, 6, 8 games, where they're not giving up many chances, where they're creating plenty going forward. And it's a bit of a head-scratcher as to why they can't ever sustain that for any longer. But they're in the middle of one at the moment. Since Easter weekend started, 4 games, they've won 3, they've drawn 1, dominated against Tranmere. Much better side against Gillingham and won, dominated Salford and won. They're a bit off it against Grimsby and relied on a penalty to nick a late point. They weren't great there. But by contrast, Walsall, their performances are very hit and miss. There's not a lot of control, a lot of consistency. 1-3, lost 3 in their last 6. They haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 11, Walsall. And just both of these teams have played against Salford and Tranmere in the last 2 weeks, which is quite fun to look at. Walsall have beaten them. Bradford have beaten them both. But the level of dominance shown over those opposition, very, very clear that Bradford had the better time of it. And so I'm just using that as an interesting measuring stick here for Bradford to beat Walsall and BTTS, hopefully a Callum Kavanagh goal. And then the Salford and BTTS against Newport. Everything that you said as to why you think Salford will beat Newport, I agree with. But the BTTS angle, Carl Robinson, 19 league games in charge of Salford, 16 have gone BTTS, yes. 3.42 goals per game averaged under Robinson. He really does empower attacking players, and they've got some very good ones. So it'll be a nice, sunny spring day, and I reckon a bit of a shootout, and I reckon Salford on the right side of it. So the long shot, Bradford to win and BTTS, yes. Salford to win and BTTS, yes. Double, 20.63.
Yeah, I've got just a single win and BTTS.
Ooh.
Wigan to beat Pompey and BTTS at 7-1 with the Betfair Sportsbook. Pompey been on the piss, haven't they?
Yes.
Like, have you heard? Have you heard Paddy Lane's interviews?
Yeah.
Quite fun.
Well, they've followed up promotion party with end of season awards the next night. That's
and also and you see John Messina's interviews and he still looks so clear eyed and you know
he is just some man, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think it's understandable that Pompey come into this one not really caring. I mean, they'll want to put on a show for their fans. They'll want to. I would have thought. Attack at will. I think Colby Bishop will probably come into it knowing that he's two goals behind Alfie May and will be doing whatever he can to try and chase him down to win the League One Golden Boot. But it doesn't really matter anymore. They've won the league. They're done. They're a great side. They've won it. They don't really have to worry. And they're up against a Wigan team that are on the beach and having quite a good time on the beach. They went and beat Lincoln 2-1 in a game last time out where the result didn't matter to them, but it mattered a lot to their opposition. They went to Charlton and drew 2-2. Their away games generally are really high scoring at the moment. There was a 3-1 defeat at Cambridge, a 4-2 defeat at Fleetwood, 4-2 defeat at Oxford. Yes, these are all defeats, but they also have the 3-2 win over Peterborough as well on the road. So I think this will be really end-to-end. And just given that the result doesn't matter too much, it wouldn't be a huge shock in my mind if Wigan were to edge what would be a very high scoring game.
Love it.
Thanks.
Couldn't love it any more, in fact. BTTS, sixfold. It's that time of the season where goals are expected and the goal lines reflect that. So it's not even 20-1. 20.53, the sixfold, which is surely the skinniest of the year so far. But it'd be great to get one more in and finish the season strongly. My three are Walsall v Bradford, as discussed in my long shot. Walsall, BTTS, yes, in their last 11. I don't know when and why Walsall decided to go from being like a pretty low margin side to just like straight up vibes, but they did. BTTS, yes, there. And in Newport, Salford, as discussed, Salford, huge BTTS runner under Carl Robinson. And then Mansfield and Gillingham, I guess broadly a similar theory to your Portsmouth-Wigan view is that Mansfield, congratulations, secured promotion from League Two in midweek. I think they'd have had a pretty good party. They've got some older players. Mm-hmm. I reckon the boozing impacts them more. I can only speak for myself when I say that I am really struggling now that I've entered my 30s.
You're struggling today.
I'm struggling today. I'm struggling any day.
We went out for a curry last night with the great men from Scouted Football, and you're a mess.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Well done, you.
Thank you.
I think those elderly statesman Stags might just be feeling it a bit. And I think Gillingham will score against them, but I think Stags will score as well. So BTTS, yes. Mansfield, Gillingham, Newport, Salford and Walsall, Bradford. All three of mine are in League Two. George, what about your BTTS picks?
I've already mentioned Pompey Wigan, so I won't go through that again. And Blackpool Barnsley, where, as I say, I think with Barnsley games, you just know what you're going to get and they're going to be very end-to-end and especially because it's just really imperative for both teams they win it. I think that helps. And finally, Sutton Crawley, another game where both teams really need a win. Sutton's survival hopes really hanging by a thread. Even if they win here, they might still get relegated, but if they do win, they might keep their dreams alive until at least Colchester have their game in hand in the midweek. Crawley kind of stuttering over the line a little bit. They got a big point against Barrow midweek, but they'll know that if they do not win this game, the chances are that one of Donny or Walsall will probably usurp them.
Or Bradford. Sorry, I made a case for...
Can they do that?
Yes, technically.
Wait, so if they win and all the teams above them lose, they go six?
Not on the day.
Right.
Not on the weekend.
That's what I was saying.
Sure. Cool. Quite a lot of overlap in our picks this week. We should rename the show the Overlap. In homage to Leaf.
I think it's been done.
In homage to Leaf Davis.
I think someone's already done that.
Our favourite EFL player. What fun. I can't wait for the weekend. And hopefully we pick some winners here. We've got 20-ish to 1 long shot, 20-ish to 1 BTTS. Really, really would love to be smiling at 5 p.m. on Saturday. My picks are Blackpool to beat Barnsley, my nap. Next best, Southampton to cover the minus one and beat Cardiff at 11 to 10. My long shot, no, my goal scorer, Callum Kavanagh, 3-1 to score any time for Bradford against Walsall. My long shot, Bradford to win and BTTS, yes, 9-2. Salford to win and BTTS, yes, 11-4. It's a 20.63 double. What are yours, mate?
My selections are Fleetwood's to win at 12-5. Salford is my next best at 21-20. John McAtee to score any time for Barnsley at 4-1. Blackpool, and then Wigan and BTTS at 7-1 away at Pompey.
You're my next best.
Oh, you're my nap.
Isn't that your wife?
No, she's my wife.
Absolutely incredible. The 6-4. BTTS 6-4, Walsall, Bradford, Newport, Salford, Mansfield, Gillingham, Sutton, Crawley. Those are the ones from League 2. And in League 1, Blackpool, Barnsley and Portsmouth, Wigan at 20.53. Thank you to Betfair for sponsoring this podcast. Thanks to George for keeping me company today and every day. And thank you to you for continuing to listen through thick and thin, through rain and shine. Enjoy your weekend. Go well.